now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, 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 it is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am your host, Chris Featherstone, here representing Crave Wrestling. Another Tuesday night full of wrestling and fun and trivia, and we always have some good wrestling chat and some good trivia questions here. So let's get started. As a matter of fact, next week in chat room, be sure to remind me, or people who are often tweet during the show, remind me. But next week will be the quiz the host segment. Actually not next week. Next week is Christmas Day, so we will not be airing on Christmas Day, but we will be back a week after that. But be sure to tune in. We will have some updates as far as the beginning of the year. This is episode number 38, so we will be continuing to improve. Be sure to email us at cravewrestling@gmail.com. Already have people in the chat room looking forward to the quote-unquote stump the host segment. Last time we had it, it was really fun. I think I only had like one or two questions wrong. So we'll talk about, we'll handle that towards New Year. The New Year's Day is January, is 2 weeks from now. Like I said, Christmas Day, we will not be having this show. But be sure to check out Bleacher Report. I write articles on Bleacher Report. Also landed a gig for WrestlingInc.com. Wrestling.com is one of the most popular and the largest independent wrestling site and globally, so I'm very happy and to be a the newest member of the Wrestling Inc. staff, and also thank you all for listening and continue to listen. Tweet at Crave Wrestling, call in 347-884-8452. We got a lot to cover today. We got some TLC. We got Raw, SmackDown. We will cover the live SmackDown in the following episode. But stick tight though. Be sure to check out the Bleach Report because we will not have the show on next Tuesday, Christmas. But hang tight. As far as programming next week, we may have the show next Monday after Raw or Wednesday. So just hang tight and just be sure to follow at Crave Wrestling for tweets for the show as far as when it will air next week. I definitely want to thank all the audience and the listeners, and so this show has become very popular, so definitely want to accommodate for the listeners. So thank you so much for that. As we do every week. We do this week's news. We start off with that. This week's news. Randy Orton suffers a dislocated shoulder on Tribute to the Troops. He's expected to return in a couple of weeks. As you saw previously, it was an injury angle. He was attacked by the Shield, so that kind of wrote him off for a little while. Mark Henry turn update. He quotes, not ready, but feeling like a beast. And there's some rumblings that he may return to feud against Antonio Cesaro. That would be an interesting feud. I mean, you know, I prefer the faces over the heels in most cases, not all. I mean, it's almost, I mean, it's not a substantial difference as far as my preference, as far as the percentage is concerned. But I don't know, Mark Henry, he's been more successful as a heel. His last-ditch effort to make a name for himself, it was very successful when he became world champion here recently in the WWE. And then finally, I'm just incredibly sober moment as far as the tragedy with the Connecticut incident at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Definitely thoughts and prayers are with the friends and families of the victims. I'm incredibly sorry for that heinous incident. And I actually put something on WrestlingInc.com as far as be sure to go to WrestlingInc.com and check out the just the series of tweets from different wrestlers commenting about the just very, very tragic incident. So just real quick, I'd just like to dedicate a moment of silence for the victims of Newtown, Connecticut. All right. All right, well, let's get into some TLC Sunday pay-per-view. Start off with Road Scholars. Once again, 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Give us your TLC thoughts, Raw thoughts. We'll have our esteemed Raw correspondent, Derek, to be on the line coming up here in a little while. And then last week, I asked the question of who had the most intercontinental title reigns and how many. That was never answered, as far as I didn't see any tweets or answers from the chat room, or nobody called in to answer. The answer was Chris Jericho has had the most reigns, and the total reigns he had was 9. He's been a 9-time Intercontinental Champion. So, first question to start off before I go into TLC is who were Vince McMahon's stooges? This will be pretty easy. Who were Vince McMahon's stooges? All right, we'll start off with TLC here. Rhodes Scholars defeats Mysterio and Sin Cara. That was pretty evident for me, just because, you know, it seems like they're, well, first of all, number one contender match. I can, you know, they've already had some type of feud going on with Kane and Daniel Bryan, so it was a good match to kind of put off the tag team title picture right now because of the six-man match. So it was a good idea. And then Road Scholars won the match, and that was pretty much expected. Antonio Cesaro defeats R-Truth. That was also expected, predictable. Cesaro's just on a roll right now, and I like R-Truth, and many people who listen to the show know that I like R-Truth, and I didn't see him at all dethrone Cesaro, because they really put a lot of stock in Cesaro, rightfully so. I mean, he's a great talent. So R-Truth has given Cesaro a good feud, but really, you know, he's kind of like Justin Gabriel as far as just another filler, so to speak, for Antonio Cesaro, because I don't see him losing that U.S. title in anytime soon. Miz TV segment 3MB. There's been some complaints about the Miz not being utilized that much, but honestly, I absolutely love the Miz's spot right now as a babyface. I commented on a Bleacher Report article that the Miz is being utilized similar to Chris Jericho when he turned during his babyface days. He would badger the heels at the time, specifically the corporation and definitely Stephanie McMahon. And he Rhino was another one that he would badger a lot. Chris Jericho did a great job and became very over. So the Miz TV segments is not, you know, he's not getting buried by it, but he's also getting TV exposure. So I think that that's definitely a good thing that they're using him in that sense. So I'm all for it. 3MB is the special guest of Miz TV. And they start messing with the Spanish announce team. Ricardo comes out, and Alberto Del Rio comes out to save Ricardo Rodriguez. Interesting, very quick face turn there by Alberto Del Rio. There was some rumblings about it last week, but it was it wasn't thought to be this close to the report that he was going to turn face in the near future. Then 3MB challenges The Miz and Brother Del Rio and a partner of their choosing. Kofi Kingston defeats Wade Barrett. Good match between the two. It could have went both ways, but at the same time, I don't know. For Wade Barrett to have such a really, really good vignettes, to have really good vignettes before his return, and to to be involved in the mid-card feud is okay, but at the same time, I don't see any type of progression anytime soon unless they have him win the Royal Rumble, which he wouldn't be my primary choice, but I definitely wouldn't be opposed to him winning. But just a heel winning, it just usually doesn't pan out too well for the heels when they win the Royal Rumble. Alberto Del Rio is a prime example. He won the quote-unquote biggest Royal Rumble in history, 40-man Royal Rumble, but lost to Edge at Mania. And, I mean, his match, if I'm not mistaken, it was first, either first or second that year. So, you know, it was definitely doesn't pan out too well for the heels. And I don't see Wade Barrett winning the title, and it definitely wouldn't be the WWE title he was going for. That's another thing about the world heavyweight, the world title picture period in the Royal Rumble. I don't ever remember, I mean, since 2002 when the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship have been the primary titles in the WWE. I don't think, but I don't recall any other time where it was pretty much a lock of we know who the person is going to choose. And that's pretty much how it was. It was kind of like that last year because we kind of saw, CM Punk and Chris Jericho. It was pretty much a lock. And then Sheamus won, and he was a face, and so of course he was going to pick that. But at the same time, it still wasn't necessarily a lock per se, because Sheamus last year, basically told who he's going to face. After the Extreme Rules, after the Elimination Chamber match of the World Heavyweight title, and he came in and, you know, basically after Daniel Bryan won. So, but it's pretty much a lock just because of the WWE title picture. The WWE Championship picture is basically, you know, Rock may be involved in it. You know, CM Punk probably will. So, I mean, there's a couple of rumblings of, you know, streak versus streak. You can read between those lines. So, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. Nice Trouble in Paradise counter from the Bullhammer as well. So, kudos to Kofi Kingston for that. CM Punk promo in Skybox. Nice knees to faces T-shirt. It was really nice. Definitely a nice little spin on the Rock's T-shirt that he has. But you know, a nice little. It worked out really well, honestly. I mean, his, and I've said it before, his injury was a blessing in disguise, because first of all, the match that we saw, which I'm about to say here next, and secondly, just the fact that it was pretty much predictable. It was a fast track to, now he's on a fast track to the Royal Rumble instead of having just a speed bump, because he wasn't going to lose, you know, he wasn't going to lose the title. So, but however, there is some reports that the January 14th Raw will be the January 14th Raw, the 20th anniversary Raw will most likely feature Ryback versus CM Punk. So we'll see how that goes as far as as far as whether they book that. And I mean, that's 2 weeks before the Rumble, so I mean, maybe Ryback wins and keeps it for a week. I really don't see the point of having another Ryback match against CM Punk, because especially that close to the Rumble. I mean, if anything, that would just continue to hurt Ryback's momentum. So we'll see if that's booked around that time. The Shield defeats Ryback and Team Hell No. Now, here's the thing. I was incredibly impressed by this match. It just surpassed my expectations by just leaps and bounds. The very fact that, I mean, the intensity, I mean, and it actually worked. It actually worked. The very fact that it was a TLC, it was criticized. I even was critical about it. You know, they coined it as the first TLC match that, had pinfall or submission. You know, and it made sense that it would have been a tables match, you know, just because, it would have made more sense, you know, for that to happen. So, you know, I think it would have been better, but it just really, it proved to me how the TLC concept was a lot better. Just because, one, Daniel Bryan took the fall. I mean, he the one who took the pin, and it doesn't hurt Daniel Bryan at all. Helps the Shield, and Ryback looked impressive. So those are the three things that, you know, really were the biggest points, were the biggest elements coming into the match. You know, if Ryback lost again, would it continue to halt his momentum? I think another loss in the column does, in a way, but at the same time, he looked very impressive towards the end of the match, so helped him out a little bit. But, yeah, kudos to the match, though. I mean, I coined it as the most intense match since Brock Lesnar and John Cena Extreme Rules, and I was thinking about that as I was watching the match. Interestingly enough, that match was nominee of the Match of the Year for the Slammy Awards. Patterson and Briscoe is indeed correct. Great job. What was the main event of WrestleMania 17? What was the main event of WrestleMania 17? Next, Eve defeats Naomi. Good showing by Naomi. A little rough around the edges. She was really good, actually, in FCW. She was actually a champion at that time in FCW. But, you know, there hasn't been a consistent time. I believe she wrestled a house match recently. But there, to me, of course, there was some consistency in FCW, but and however, and of course NXT, but however, you know, she hasn't been an active wrestler, you know, for quite some time. She's been with Brodus Clay, so it wasn't too bad. She showed her athleticism, and I think that Naomi will be a pretty good baby face, and it would actually help Brodus Clay, interestingly enough. It would help Brodus Clay because his career has, you know, well, just about plummeted. So Naomi's popularity would help Brodus Clay. So if I was a WWE, I would do my best to try to get Naomi over, and subsequently that would help Brodus Clay. Big Show defeats Sheamus. Nice rugged match. Kind of fell flat to me, honestly, compared to the other ones. The huge Paul Bunyan chair, you know, that's I don't know what who chair that was for, Paul Bunyan or the Jack and the Beanstalk person. So it had to be somebody. That chair was humongous. But good call, though. Wonder how they figured out that spot. You know, let's just bring a huge chair in the ring, but it was pretty interesting. Miz Alberto Del Rio and the mystery person, Brooklyn Brawler, defeats 3MB. You know, nice match to pander to the Brooklyn crowd. And then finally, Dolph Ziggler defeats John Cena. Good call here. Great match. It was to my expectations. I'm sure that I was expecting them to deliver a good match. Wasn't that happy that this was the main event, though. I think it would have been better if this would have been, because it really didn't have much resonance at Raw other than what we saw at the end that we'll go to in a minute. As far as just like, I don't think it had enough momentum to be the main event and to see what we saw. I still think that Ziggler, even what we saw on Raw, I still think that Ziggler defeating John Cena earlier in the match and then subsequently cashing in the Money in the Bank contract would have been a little better, just because, you know, the anticipation of Dolph Ziggler winning the World Heavyweight Championship has gotten a little bit less, it's lessened. I mean, the anticipation is lessened, so we'll see where that goes, and we'll see how long Ziggler keeps that contract, because I mean, it was a way to refresh it a little bit, but at the same time, you know, I think that there's going to be an expiration date as far as people just not really being that intrigued anymore. So all in all, it actually was a good TLC pay-per-view, in my opinion. It surpassed expectations, and actually was not too critical of it this time. So before we go to Raw, we're going to have a chat with our Raw correspondent, Derek. He is on the line, and what you have for us this week, sir?
Excellent Raw last night. I was pretty surprised how good it was. I didn't realize it was going to be a Slammy Awards Raw. But that happened, and that was an extra bonus to see Ric Flair and Triple H. Anything with Ric Flair, to me, is awesome. So let's keep Ric Flair in the game. It seems like he's going to be there in WWE. He can do nothing but good. If he does horrible, then call him Hulk Hogan. Triple H, of course, is always awesome to see. And he mentioned, this isn't the last time you'll see The Undertaker. So we'll see what goes with that. But as far as Ryback and his team losing last night, again, Ryback to me has kind of lost a lot of credibility to what he could be or what he could have been. I'm sure they could still be, you know, get behind him and make him something huge in the next few months or in the coming year. But he's kind of gotten stale. He's lost how many matches in a row now, and it's just getting kind of ridiculous. They have the Goldberg thing behind him, but it's just not working out for me. You see Jerry Lawler win Comeback of the Year. That was beautiful. Monday Night Raw would not be Monday Night Raw without Jerry Lawler. So we all need to pay homage and respect to that. When it comes to AJ, it's a total fail with her. What's going on with her? She was fired from the GM position. She's hugged on to a bunch of different guys. And everyone got behind her with the John Cena thing, but now that's gone up in smoke. And so what's going on with that? To me, that's going nowhere. It's kind of a failed storyline, so just forget about it. CM Punk's the same old CM Punk, but I think I'm kind of growing on to him. That's a kind of a shock. But I think I kind of finally understand what he's trying to do and what's going on with him. Sometimes you don't understand what someone's trying to do, but when you finally get it, you're like, wow, this guy is monumental. He is far ahead of himself. With him and Paul Heyman together, I still don't like it, but I'm starting to kind of like it, so don't hold me to that. 20th anniversary of Raw. Hopefully, they'll make it monumental as it was the 1,000th episode of Raw. That was a very great Raw. I won't take anything away from it. When Lord Tensai came out with a, what was that, an ice pack on his head?
Yes.
They built him up to be some kind of big macho. I don't know what it was, but now he's this. So maybe he's going back to the Lord Albert kind of funny heel. Laugh at me because I'm a total joke and you couldn't do anything with me. I'm a jobber, obviously, if you watched Raw last night. And Sheamus is the end all right now. I wish nothing but the best for Sheamus. I liked it when he was with Lord Steven Regal. I think they would make an awesome team, but Sheamus by himself can carry a match, so I've got a lot of support for Sheamus. Hope everything works out for him. But other than that, it was good again to see Ric Flair, Triple H. Back to you.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Very, very good analysis there, Derek. Very, very great job. Yeah, he hit it right on the head. And we'll talk about we'll talk about every point that he made here coming up. Before that, the question on question right now is, what was the main event of WrestleMania 17? Tweet at Crave Wrestling or log on to the chat room and say your answer there. Raw starts off with Rey Mysterio defeating Sin Cara. Like Derek did say, it was the Slammy Awards. So definitely, that was definitely a treat. That was the Slammies. I'm sorry, Rey Mysterio defeats Damian Sandow. I'm sorry about that. He comes out with some Sin Cara, but he defeats Damian Sandow. Booker T presents the Tell Me I Didn't Just See That award for most shocking moment, which was received by Kofi Kingston. Interesting. The Boogeyman comes out of anybody. That was very interesting to see the Boogeyman come out. Nice little, bit of a nostalgia. However, the thing about that is interesting thing about that is that that Booker T and the Boogeyman actually wrestled at a WrestleMania. I mean, that year when they pushed the Boogeyman to the moon, I was so upset because the Royal Rumble, that was the same Royal Rumble that, I mean, this is WrestleMania 22. That was the same year that he defeated JBL. He went against JBL at the Royal Rumble that year, and for some reason, they decided to have him go against King Booker and Charmel at the WrestleMania that year in a handicap match. What a awful spot for Booker T. I mean, he's one of my favorite all-time wrestlers, and yeah, I mean, to see that Booker T and Charmel versus the Boogeyman at a WrestleMania, that had to be unsettling for Booker T. Boogeyman was probably, it was probably the time of his life, and he won the match too, so. You know, for Booker T, is one of the most decorated wrestlers in history, to have that type of spot is pretty embarrassing. I mean, no offense to Boogeyman, but compared to Booker T, just not quite. Brad Maddox appears too. Nice, interesting little Brad Maddox appearance. He was expecting him to win, and I mean, he's real smug. He's just a little. He's a jerk of a character, and that's really, really good, actually. So it was a good little, it was a good little insertion there, as far as including Brad Maddox in that segment. Kaitlyn defeats Eve, non-title match. I guess this is going to lead to another Kaitlyn and Eve match for the title. That's predictable. New Age Outlaws come out, and they present a comeback of the year, which goes to Jerry Lawler, as Derek mentioned. Well-deserved. I mean, that was the only right call. I mean, if I had a preference, it would have been Chris Jericho, just from a wrestling standpoint. But, I mean, no, I mean, it pales in comparison to what actually happened to Jerry Lawler, and for him to come back, definitely well deserved. Kofi Kingston defeats Tensai. Pretty self-explanatory. Tensai is just a joke now. Post-match attack by Wade Barrett. The feud isn't over with. Vicky Guerrero presents Kiss of the Year, which AJ was the candidate for all of them. But the person, the male that won was John Cena. AJ comes out, goes back and forth with Vicky, says that she doesn't have to explain anything to anybody. I guess that's the heel turn, but she's going back and forth with the biggest heel in wrestling. I mean, Vicky gets more heat than anybody. But so if you want to have a heel turn, going back and forth with Vicky wouldn't do you a favor. I mean, Vicky girl can make Yoshitatsu be a top babyface with all the heel heat that she gets. Dolph Ziggler comes out and breaks it up, and then AJ kisses Ziggler, another person she kisses. What a surprise. The Great Khali defeats David Otunga, throwaway match number one for me. And then the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, comes out and presents Superstar of the Year. Great call. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what was a bit annoying to me. They kind of said, okay, I guess it's okay, rationally speaking, this is what I thought. I thought about two different sides on this. They were saying, okay, the Superstar of the Year is going to be presented by a special guest, and then, the Ric Flair woo chant, came before, the commercial break, which, have the nominees, and that spoiled it a bit, and I didn't like that too much, the fact that it was spoiled like that. But at the same time, from a marketing and promotion and business standpoint, you know, I can see it from the view of, okay, I'm going to, you know, they heard that, and that will kind of entice people to call their fair weather wrestling friends and say, hey, it seems like Ric Flair is about to come after the commercial break, so that probably, you know, generated a bit of a spike in the viewership at that time. So I haven't checked out the ratings yet this week, but, you know, I'm going to check and see if that, you know, if that theory is correct as far as the reason why they decided to spoil it like that. But his segment went pretty long, and it seems like most of it was scripted, but a couple moments was kind of impromptu and spontaneous. So John Cena wins the Superstar of the Year. I have no idea how. I mean, another thing about the Slammies is that it was a good show. It was, you know, like it's kind of like a breakaway from just the big booking, you know, week to week, leading to a pay-per-view episodes, which I like. But for them to have the envelope as they're presenting the category, and then for them to say go to Raw Active, and then for them to open the envelope after people voted. I mean, this is just type of mind I have, just very observant. It was quite puzzling to me. Like, how would you have the envelope before people voted on Raw Active? It just kind of puzzled me. But saying all that to say, the Ric Flair segment was a bit. I mean, it was long, but at the same time, it was good to see Ric Flair too. But the point of all that is, I definitely don't think that Raw Active voted for John Cena. I mean, like, it really. I mean, that's one of the things. Like, I have to see that those numbers. I have to see the percentage, because to me, I mean, it was a clear-cut victor of this year, and it's unquestionably CM Punk. I mean, he's had the WWE title since the first day of January. I mean, he's had it before. He actually won it before then. He won it in Survivor Series, but January 1, he was WWE champ. December 17th, at the Slammy Awards, he was still champ. And it was uninterrupted. So, wouldn't it make sense? I mean, he's the longest-reigning WWE champion of this generation, of the past 25 years. You know, 380-plus days. So, it would just make sense for CM Punk to be that the superstar of the year. So, I mean, John Cena, you know, he main evented like half the year, but at the same time, I mean, CM Punk hands down, you know, in my opinion. So it's hard for me to believe that those numbers were accurate as far as the Raw Active polls are concerned. Cena gets booed, which was definitely definitely made sense. And what happened was, irate CM Punk comes out, rightfully so. then Punk and Flair goes back and forth, and Flair challenges Punk to a match and walks down to the ring, and Punk follows. Which, you know, brought some anticipation to the next part, to the next after the commercial. Punk hits Flair with crutches, and Flair pokes Punk in the eye and figure fours Paul Heyman. Nice spot there. Flair cuts a promo in ring about Philly and gets interrupted by the Shield. Shield takes out Flair, Kane, and Daniel Bryan. Attempted to powerbomb him through announcer's table, but Ryback makes save. Kane and Daniel Bryan regroup to take out the Shield, forcing them to retreat. Nice little spot there. Flair, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Ryback celebrate in the ring. And then Flair, Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Ron Simmons backstage segment, which was pretty cool as well. Brodus Clay defeats JTG. He actually gets a win this week, surprisingly enough. JTG is just... Talk about your waste of talent. That's very sad. Rock and Austin, indeed. Great answer there. I mean, good job on that. Next question is, what group were the Oddities affiliated with? What group were the Oddities affiliated with? Santino and Tensai present LOL Moment of the Year, which goes to The Rock. Gets booed because he wasn't there to receive it, which makes sense. Which kind of was the same. It was kind of the same as his 03 heel turn. He was kind of Hollywood and was kind of presenting things through, you know, through the TitanTron at the time, and kind of. He was kind of forced to become heel because of the fans. So I actually got a call here. Let us know your name and what city you are calling from.
Hello, my name is Patrick, and I'm calling from South Carolina, my man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, just chilling. Basically, you know, I want to get y'all, you know, I don't know, you know, I want to get your opinion on how do you feel about tonight's SmackDown from three shows basically running ever since TLC pay-per-view.
You said tonight's SmackDown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Is that what you're inquiring about? Do you have anything else?
Basically, that's just it. Basically, how do you feel about tonight's SmackDown? Like, what do you, you know, think about it?
Okay, cool. Thanks for your call. Well, wasn't too bad of a SmackDown. The very fact that it was commercial free, you know, in honor of the USA week on, the WWE week on USA was a good idea. Well, as far as the breakdown of the SmackDown, we'll talk about it on the next show. Because this show will be talked about the previous SmackDown leading into TLC, but wasn't too bad. The tag match main event wasn't bad, and you know, we'll see where the for those who didn't know that it was a super SmackDown Live tonight with the callers referencing from. The main event was John Cena and Sheamus against Dolph Ziggler and The Big Show. And so, you know, definitely an interesting turn of events from what we saw at the end of Raw last night with the NXT star, which we'll go to. So, yeah, wasn't bad at all. Like I said, we'll talk about the just. We'll dissect the entire show coming up here. Thanks for the call, definitely. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Thanks for your supporting your call, and let us know whatever you have, whatever questions you have. If you want to ask about tonight's SmackDown, or if you want to ask how I felt about the first WrestleMania, do I think that Mr. T was a suitable tag team partner for Hulk Hogan against Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper? Whatever you want to ask, go for it. And if someone actually did ask me that question, I would have probably said no, because I have the History of WrestleMania DVD, and I've watched that match before, but I watched it freshly within the past couple of weeks, and man, just not a good match at all. You can tell that Mr. T was having a time of his life, and rightfully so, for him to get that type of marquee main event spot. You know, it's definitely something to probably one of the biggest moments of his career. I think that surpassed any type of A-team or any type of acting role that he had. So thanks for the question. Great call. Thanks so much for your support. We'll go on to the Slammies once again. We'll had a Vicky and well, before that, the Ric Flair segment, Brodus Clay, The Rock gets the LOL moment of the year. Daniel Bryan comes out and starts yelling no, which was really interesting. Kane carries him back to the stage. Just got a quote on the chat room that A-Team was awesome. A-Team wasn't bad at all. I remember watching the A-Team when I was a kid. And however, I don't think the A-Team had nothing on WrestleMania. So thank you so much. The person that said, but Mr. T was a horrible wrestler. Very much so. He was just not good at all. Orndorff and Piper had to make him look at least halfway decent. Because Hogan wasn't a good wrestler either. So Mr. T and Hogan together was definitely a bunch of theatrics and fan pandering. So that's what actually really got Hogan over, and as much as he did. So, but he did it well. So that's the reason why he's one of the, you know, most popular ever, if not arguably the most popular ever. Cody Rhodes defeats Sin Cara. Zack Ryder and Layla present the trending now hashtag of the year award, which was received by Ryback, Feed Me More. Big Show in-ring promo. Boring chance. Seems like that wasn't scripted the way he kind of went off on the crowd. That was pretty interesting. Then he was interrupted by Sheamus, who takes out Big Show. Ziggler comes out to cash in briefcase, but Cena comes out and attacks Ziggler, which resulted to a chorus of boos. I mean, rightfully so, too. I mean, like, this, that would have been a perfect time to just, I mean, just now. I mean, that would have, the very fact that it was Raw and the very fact that it was it was unpredictable, and I definitely think that it was just one of those things that would have made sense for Ziggler to cash it out. And then Cena attacking Ziggler, just, that was just bad news. Got another call here. Let us know your name and what city you are calling from.
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm from Portsmouth, Ohio.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, you're talking about, you know, have calls for anything, any question. What, in your opinion, do you think is probably the best WrestleMania of all time? The best WrestleMania as far as, you know, matches and hype behind it? To me, it's always been WrestleMania 3 with the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Randy Macho Man Savage. But then again, what do you think of the last WrestleMania? You've had The Undertaker against Triple H, Hell in a Cell. I mean, what, in your opinion, is the high road to WrestleMania success? Could have been WrestleMania 5 with Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, WrestleMania 6, Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. But what do you think, in your opinion, was probably one of the best WrestleManias of all time? And what would you spend nowadays, $50, to actually watch?
Awesome. Great question. Thanks so much for the call. In my opinion, the best WrestleMania was WrestleMania 17, and that was Rock in Austin. Just because of, I mean, just the segments leading, they both were baby faces. Just that face versus face feel was just tremendous, similar to Hogan and Warrior. Just the face versus face is too, I mean, it's just two popular baby faces going against each other at WrestleMania was just spectacular to me. Good call on WrestleMania 3. I think that probably was the launch pad for WrestleMania, just because of, you know, Pontiac Silverdome, Hogan and Andre, and then, of course, you know, the best match of that night was, of course, the Intercontinental title match between Savage and Steamboat. So, good call on that. I think WrestleMania 3 was a launch pad. I mean, there was a few good WrestleManias in between, but not, you know, not really anything of worth, so to speak. I mean, as far as, like, there wasn't, like, necessarily a cut above the rest. I mean, they all were good, but they weren't, like, it wasn't like substantially better than any other one. But in my opinion, WrestleMania 17 was very good. I was happy with that. The past four WrestleManias have actually been pretty good as well. Where the past two was Taker and Triple H, and the past two before that was Michaels and Taker. So I think 24 through 28 were good. 22 was good. Actually, I think, you know, honestly, the stadium feel really helped WrestleMania. Because when they were in arenas, it just seems like some type of glorified or glamified you know, pay-per-view. I mean, WrestleMania is, you know, the pay-per-view, but, you know, to be compared, you know, to the Super Bowl and things of that nature, the very fact that it became inside stadiums really helped. Interestingly enough, like I said before, I watched the WrestleMania pay-per-view. I mean, the WrestleMania, History of WrestleMania DVD, and some people were in favor of it, some people weren't. Edge made a comment of, like, there's a delay because it's, I mean, the acoustics is so great, you know, in that type of setting. It's, I mean, it's just the sound goes up and then comes back down, so there's a bit of a delay. So that was a little bit annoying to them. And then Cena is not in favor of it because of the reaction, and Chris Jericho actually is in favor of it because of just the mega feel of it. And so I would have to actually side with Chris Jericho on that as far as the stadium feel is concerned. Thanks for your call. Great question. Finish the rest of Raw here. Yes, the ICP is the correct answer for that. This question may be stumped, may stump some people. Who was the longest reigning U.S. champion in WWE history? The longest reigning champion in WWE history. Like I was saying, Big Show in-ring promo, boring chants, then interrupted by Sheamus. Would have been a good time for Ziggler to cash it in, but I guess we shall see until, I don't know. I don't know, before Rumble, you know, there's over a month. There's enough time to really book a good Royal Rumble. I mean, I believe it's January 27th, if I'm not mistaken. So, got over a month to book a good pay-per-view, almost a month and a half. So, I'm expecting a good Royal Rumble pay-per-view from all this, especially hyping up The Rock. And he's already having promos about coming to the Rumble. So, should be pretty good. Vicky and Ziggler backstage segment, book Ziggler and AJ against Cena and Vicky. I was expecting some type of swerve. We got a swerve, but not what I was expecting. Miz, Alberto Del Rio, and a surprising Tommy Dreamer comes back and defeats 3MB. Good to see Tommy Dreamer. Very, very good to see Tommy Dreamer, and I might have a surprise here soon concerning that. Sheamus presents the newcomer of the year, which goes to Ryback. Makes sense to me. Ryback defeats Antonio Cesaro by countout. That was good, too. It was good that Cesaro walked out. Didn't really hurt him too much. It wasn't a clean loss, and he just kind of cowered out. I think that was needed as a heel and as a someone who's getting pushed. I was needed at that time, so I was okay with that call. Gene Okerlund, Ricky Steamboat, and JR present the match of the year, which goes to – well, it's good to see all three of them. We've seen JR, but it's always good to see JR anyways. But definitely Ricky Steamboat and Gene Okerlund, good to see them. Present match of the year, which goes to Undertaker versus Triple H, similar to our caller, Brian, I believe his name was. He kind of said that Taker versus Triple H definitely was the match of the year. I mean, hands down to me. CM Punk and Chris Jericho at Extreme Rules was good, although that wasn't a candidate. But I think all the candidates was pretty good. All the candidates were good. Lesnar and Cena was definitely a pretty good match. That match was really good. But Undertaker and Triple H was the match of the year, in my opinion. And according to the Raw Active poll, I wonder if it's real or fake, but whoever poll, it was the match of the year to them, too. So good call on that. The Shield attacks Tommy Dreamer and Ricardo Rodriguez backstage. Didn't really see a point of that, but I guess do what you can to make the Shield look intimidating. And then Vicky and Cena defeats AJ and Ziggler by DQ because of an appearance by NXT star Big E Langston. Now I've seen Big E Langston, and I'm familiar with his in-ring work. It's a bit rough around the edges as far as his in-ring work. I think it would have probably been better if he would have been used after the Rumble or a little bit closer to it, because I really hope that they're not. I really hope that they're not doing a Langston and Cena match. He may play an enforcer of. He may be playing an enforcer role for Dolph Ziggler, but Dolph Ziggler doesn't really. I mean, he doesn't need that. He don't need any type of enforcer role. He needs to disconnect himself from just affiliating with someone. You know, he's been like that for quite some time. If it's not Vicky Guerrero, it's Jack Swagger, you know, and there were some house shows that he was, his enforcer was Mason Ryan. So, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of a week-by-week basis, similar to what our Raw correspondent Derek said. It doesn't seem like there's a set in stone type of direction with this. And, you know, it's good, you know, Langston made a good impression, on Raw, but, I don't know if the direction is worth, putting any of my stock in right now. I'll say that much. Real quick, like I said before, and like I told the caller, Patrick, I believe his name was Patrick, We'll talk about today's live SmackDown in our next episode. We will talk about, real quick, we'll go over last week's SmackDown leading into TLC. Big Show defeats R-Truth. Big Show and Booker T backstage segment. Show tries to call off match but denied. Team Road Scholars defeats the Usos. The Big Show and David Otunga backstage segment. Big Show and David Otunga in ring and demands match called off and Booker dethroned. That's what they wanted. Booker comes out and goes back and forth with Otunga. Sheamus comes out with the chair. Big Show rescinds the decision and Sheamus bro kicks Otunga. Then after that, we saw Caitlyn defeat Oksana. Miz TV was Team Hell No, the Shield interrupts on the Titantron. I like the video thing that they do. That's pretty creative. Appears in crowd and comes to the ring. Ryback comes out before they come out, before they come in the ring, and they walk away. Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel, and the Great Khali, and Hornswoggle defeat the Primetime Players. Primo Epico. Kofi defeats Alberto Del Rio. Beard tries to interfere post-match but gets trouble in Paradise. Sheamus and William Regal talk backstage, and then Antonio Cesaro defeats Sheamus by a countout. Big Show tries to goad Sheamus by hitting William Regal with a chair. So good setup for the pay-per-view. Real quick, like I said, the longest reigning U.S. champion in WWE history, not the actual WCW history. If you want to answer that, go for it. But as far as WWE history is the question. Let's go to Impact Wrestling. Bobby Roode in-ring promo calls out Aces and Eights. D-Von states that someone outbid Roode is the reason why he got attacked at the pay-per-view. Final resolution. Hardy and Storm comes to Hardy and Storm comes to and chases Aces and Eights away. Velvet Sky and defeats Madison Rain. Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe defeats Robbie E and Robbie T. Aces and Eights member Clip Angle with a pole to knee. Hardy and Roode defeats Aces and Eights. D-Von reveals that Austin Aries outbid Roode. I don't know. To me, it's just getting more and more disinteresting. I don't see. I don't see any purpose in that. As far as just where they're going right now, and like I said before, This whole thing that's going on with Aces and Eights, it just doesn't make much sense. I mean, like I said, they need to reveal more people. Period. That's basically what will refresh Aces and Eights, because now there's some type of gang. I mean, they were a gang, motorcycle gang, I guess, but now they're just getting people who, now their angle is people to bid, to attack other people. Okay, not that interesting. AJ Styles in-ring promo. Pretty interesting. That was a pretty interesting promo, because I wonder if we're seeing a gradual heel turn by Styles. That would be a little interesting. Kenny King defeats RVD. I was a fan of that. I like Kenny King. I've liked Kenny King for a while now. For those who don't know, he was a he was a part of Tough Enough a long time ago, and he didn't do much from it as far as WWE is concerned. But he was pretty good in the indies. I mean, he's been a part of the indies, you know, for quite some time now. Getting his, you know, honing his craft and wrestling. So, you know, it makes sense that you know, Kenny King is back on the map. He became real popular and Ring of Honor, teaming with Rhett Titus as the All Night Express. So, you know, he's pretty popular guy in the indies and the lesser less popular promotions. But kudos to Kenny King, though. I like the guy, and he's got a lot of potential to be a good, to be a big name player. Hogan and Bully Ray backstage segment. Bully Ray defeats Jesse. Just vicious chops by Bully Ray during that match. That was insane. Austin Aries in-ring promo interrupted by Jeff Hardy, which leads to a fight between the two and a World Heavyweight title match proposal for Championship Thursday, which is coming up this Thursday. Let's go to Ring of Honor, the program which came after the pay-per-view, but Davey Richards defeats Vinny Marsaglia. Kevin Kelly interviews Mike Mondo, interrupted by Roderick Strong, and then Michael Elgin. Truth Martini comes out as well, tries to try to appease them and tries to defuse the situation. Jay Briscoe defeats Steve Corino in Steel City Street Fight, Kevin Steen promo. As far as the final battle pay-per-view, Roderick Strong defeats Michael Elgin. Roger Stone tells Michael Elgin that Roger Stone tells Truth Martini, he reiterates to him that he's not a part of the House of Truth anymore. And then Michael Elgin, Martini gets in Elgin's face and he gets buckle bombed and back fisted. Jay Lethal defeats Rhino with a lethal injection. Definitely in favor of that. Lethal is my favorite ROH wrestler. R.D. Evans with QT Marshall defeats Prince Nana. Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team defeats Red Titus and B.J. Whitmer in a New York City street fight. The Prodigy Mike Bennett defeats Jerry Lynn. This was booked as Jerry Lynn's last ROH match. And I don't know. I have a desire to be a wrestling booker. So any independent wrestling promotions that are listening right now, if you need a booker, hit me up, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Little cheap plug for that right there. But, yeah, I mean, I believe that I would have booked Jerry Lynn to win this match against Mike Bennett. I mean, it wouldn't have harmed Mike Bennett at all. There was a sentimental feel to it. Nigel McGuinness and Jerry Lynn cuts a promo, puts Lynn over. I think that Jerry Lynn should have won the match. Would have been a good so long as far as that is concerned. So I wasn't okay with the conclusion of the match. I mean, Lynn lays out Mike Bennett and Brutal Bob Evans at the end of the match, but still, I think he should have won. American Wolves defeats Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Just vicious ending there as far as the repeated stomps and the Achilles lock. Matt Hardy defeats Adam Cole. Briscoe's defeats Coleman Alexander and Scum to become the 9-time, I believe, ROH Tag Team Champions now. And then finally, Ladder War 4 for the ROH Championship. Kevin Steen defeats El Generico and retains the championship. So, pretty good pay-per-view for ROH. Definitely a nice build to it, and I'm just hoping that in the future, you know, we get to see some more production with them and continuing to, you know, to develop as a probably the number 3 promotion right now. I'm sure there's a couple that would argue with that. Dragon Gate USA, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Jersey Championship Wrestling, so on and so forth. MVP is the longest reigning U.S. champion in WWE history. Next question is, what was Nunzio's name in ECW? What was Nunzio's name in ECW? Let's go to the flavor of the week now. Rarely mentioned uncrowned champions. Number one, let's start off with the Barbarian. This guy was, he was the man. I mean, he had one of the best boot finishers of all time. That kick affair was vicious. Paul Orndorff would be number two. Well, it's no particular order, but I did choose a list of people here. Paul Orndorff had a really good feud with Hogan in the early 80s, mid-80s. And, of course, that controversial Saturday night's main event match that they had where, you know, the controversial ending where who landed on the floor first and so on and so forth, restart the match, and Hogan wins. And so they were really booking Orndorff to be a legitimate player, legitimate heel around that time. Didn't really do much after that. I mean, he had a TV title reign in WCW for a while, but not much after the mid-80s. Superfly, Jimmy Snuka would be another rarely mentioned uncrowned champions. Now, what I mean by rarely mentioned, of course, when you think of uncrowned champions, you think of Kurt Hennig, you think of Jake Roberts, you think of someone like Arn Anderson. Those are usually the ones that that get the most notoriety as far as uncrowned champions. But there's another list of uncrowned champions that aren't mentioned as much, but I definitely think it's worth being mentioned. Jimmy Superfly Snuka is definitely one of them. He was one of the most popular wrestlers in the 80s and early 90s in the WWE. Had one of the best splashes in the business of all time. Nikita Koloff, I mean, this guy. Nikita Koloff was the man. Just Nikita Koloff, you know, the outside of kayfabe, for someone to be so entrenched in their character, to one, if I'm not mistaken, I'm almost positive this is true. I'm almost positive this is true. He actually changed his name. His name is actually Nikita Koloff now. And for him to, I mean, he's from Minnesota, you know, he's just a regular guy from Minnesota. And for him to be so entrenched in his name, to become Nikita Koloff and to really have to learn a bit of Russian and to really, hone the craft and just really kind of make his voice seem like, you know, he's a Russian speaking broken English. I mean, that's what you do. That's how you make, that's how you make a character work. And Nikita Koloff worked. He worked. His U.S. title matches. He became a babyface and feuded with Ric Flair for a while. So he was on the cusp of winning the NWA title at the time, but they decided not to put it on him. So definitely Nikita Koloff, 100% Nikita Koloff is an uncrowned champion. Magnum TA is my next person to talk to as well. Unfortunately, I believe it was in 86. I may be mistaken. I believe it was 86 when Magnum TA got in his car accident and unfortunately had to end his career abruptly. But I mean, he was on the fast track to become champion. There's actually been reports for the past 20 years of the fact, you know, of Magnum TA being an NWA champion at that time. So I definitely think that that Magnum TA would have it was 86. I definitely believe that Magnum TA would have been champion at that time. Guido, yes. Little Guido is the correct answer. Great job. Definitely Magnum TA. Ted DiBiase, he's mentioned here and there, but I definitely want to make it known that Ted DiBiase definitely should have been a world champion around at the height, at the peak of his career. I think that him and Hogan could have had a really good feud, and he was one of the best heels in the WWE at that time. And I really believe that a Hulk Hogan and Ted DiBiase main event would have drew some good money. Ted DiBiase, he was really good on the mic. He was a very, very good heel. I mean, you know, he basically set the precedence for Alberto Del Rio. I mean, he's the American version of Del Rio, in a sense. And Del Rio has been WWE champ twice, but DiBiase, zero times. Junkyard Dog is another one. He was just one of the most popular wrestlers in the South, hands down. I definitely think that Junkyard Dog could have had a nice brief world title, the WWE Championship run at the time, probably in the mid-80s or so, because basically he became a part of the WWE roster because he was so popular in down south, most notably in mid-south, in the Mid-South promotion. And so his popularity got him a spot in the WWE. And I think that's a run around that time would have been good. Of course, Hulk Hogan was the man at the time, but I think that Junkyard Dog could have had or even in the WCW, because in the early 90s, he feuded with Ric Flair, and he actually won a match by disqualification against Ric Flair. And so and he was still popular at that time. Very, very popular. He was one of the most consistently popular wrestlers in the history of wrestling. So I definitely think he's worthy of having at least one championship title reign. Razor Ramon is next. I definitely think, even as Scott Hall, I think, in the NWO days, he actually won the World War III pay-per-view and had a match against Sting. He lost that match, but even at Razor Ramon, he was incredibly popular. And I think that during the height of his popularity, probably the mid-90s, 95 or so is when he was probably the most popular. I definitely think 94, 95 was when he was really popular in WWE as a face, and I think a title run would have been good that time. There's an asterisk next to the next person that I'm about to say, and that would be Andre the Giant. Of course, you remember the controversy in WrestleMania. The controversy that led to the WrestleMania tournament that Randy Savage won. There was both of the Hebners and between Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan, and there was Andre the Giant won, but he really didn't win. But I think for someone to have a 15-year winning streak, I mean, that's impressive. He's never been a recognized world champion. I think that Andre the Giant should have deserved that without question. Jesse Ventura. Jesse the Body Ventura was definitely a very, very popular heel during his day. Similar to me to superstar Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was WWE champion. And I definitely think that Jesse Ventura had the heel heat. And he drew enough money at that point in time to have a world title reign. I think he would have been really good in the main event role. And then finally, Bam Bam Bigelow. He was ECW champion, but he was never WWE or WCW or NWA champion. And the WWE was very, very popular. Just because of his agility and because he was very popular during his time in the WWE. And so, you know, that may be argued, that may be controversial, but I definitely think that for Bam Bam, here's the thing, and this will make it even worse. Bam Bam Bigelow never had a title in the WWE. I believe he was tag team champion in his latter days of the WCW when he was with the Jersey Triad, him, DDP, and Canyon, if I'm not mistaken. But for him to not, I mean, to be so over and to not have any title, I mean, yeah, that's a far stretch. I'm for Bigelow. I mean, even if it was a short reign, I think that he was over. I mean, you have to understand, he main evented a WrestleMania against LT. So, you know, for him to main event a WrestleMania, I believe it was 95, for him to main event a WrestleMania and against LT and not have any type of title to show for that. I don't know. You know, I think that can be argued. I think that main event was horrible, in my opinion, but they had enough stock in him to have, you know, him main event at WrestleMania. So, and then for LT to beat him, too, that was even more embarrassing. But, yeah, that was... If they had enough stock in him to main event at WrestleMania, like I said, I definitely think that having one small world title would have been sufficient. So, thank you so much for listening to us. Great show as always. Thanks for all of the people who called, and of course, thank you to Derek, our Raw correspondent, for giving us a great analysis every week. We will be here. Check out, like I said, check out my articles on Bleacher Report, WrestlingInc.com. I'm a writer for WrestlingInc.com now. Bleacher Report, as always, feature columnists there. Pancakes and Power Slam show every Tuesday. Like I said, Christmas Day is next Tuesday. So be sure to check out the updates as far as if and or when there would be a show next week. If anything, it would be a very brief show right after Raw on Christmas Eve at 11:30. So that's basically where I believe we may be going. Brief show next week. But be sure to tweet at Crave Wrestling. Or follow Crave Wrestling for updated tweets about next week's show. It's usually have you know, these things scheduled in advance, but I definitely want to make sure you know, to got to satisfy the people. Like John Laurinaitis says, it's all about people power. So, you know, all about people power here at Pancakes and Power Slam. So follow at Crave Wrestling and check out for the update of if or when we will have the show. If anything, it'll be live on air right after the Raw of next week. So we're most likely around 11:30. But it'll be an express show as well. It'll probably just cover Raw and SmackDown. But still take your calls and your tweets and your a little bit of trivia in between. But thank you so much for supporting. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas. But like I said, there's a good chance that we'll do next Monday at 11:30, right after Raw. Just a little Raw analysis and express version leading into Christmas Day. And enjoy your Christmas Day. And like I said, be sure to check me out on WrestlingInc.com. Amazing site. Just, I mean, you want to talk about your up-to-date news and just exclusive reports and breaking news and just really good, source of wrestling information. I mean, covering, you know, quote comments of wrestlers from aftermaths of matches, covering, you know, house shows, covering, you know, wrestler appearances, and of course the synopsis of every program. So WrestlingInc.com, be sure to check them out. Very humbled to be a part of the staff now. And then Bleacher Report, of course. I'm a feature columnist there. Check me out, Chris Featherstone. And if you have any questions, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. If you would like to give, PayPal at Crave Wrestling. 347-884-8452. Once again, it's time to put in your back pocket. Thank you so much for all your support. Like I said, I'm so humbled by the growth of the show. 38 episodes, and we're only getting better. So thank you so much. We'll be here for you. Like I said, follow at Crave Wrestling if you're already not a follower for the update for next week's show. Thank you so much, Derek and I and the Crave Wrestling staff. Thank you so much for being a part of this fun, fun world of wrestling and for you to spend your time to hear us and to talk wrestling. So until next week, have a great week and enjoy your week of wrestling and God bless. Goodbye.